Hey guys, welcome to church today. We're so glad that you're with us, wherever you're joining us from, whenever you're joining us. It's great to have you here. We're in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 15. Last week, Tim brought us up to verse 1 in chapter 5, where it says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free." It's probably a good reminder to remember, right, that Galatians is this book that Paul has written to a church that he started about who's in the family of God, right? That Jesus was enough, that they didn't have to add anything to that, right, to be in the family of God. It was the faithfulness of Christ and our faith in Jesus that allows us to be in that family, not the law. The law didn't invite us into new life, Jesus did. And his grace is that vehicle that brings us into that family of faith. And so today we're going to be looking at verses 2 through 15. So let's tune in and I'm going to invite Jonathan, my friend, to read for us now, and it's going to be great.
"But when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God. For he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. If you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another."
Thanks, Jonathan. I love how it says, right, that Paul is saying you were running the race so well. Right? It's kind of a throwback to chapter 3, where he says, who's bewitched you? Right? You were running the race so well, but someone came in, right? Someone got in front of you, someone blocked your way. Someone stifled your momentum, said you've got to add some things to this gospel. You've got to add this thing called circumcision. And really, this is, again, this law that says, you know, you've got to follow this way or you're not in the family. And really, Paul's saying, no, that's not true. You don't add anything to it. There's nothing that you can add to what Jesus has already done. Paul loves this race motif, right? Like, we're running towards this objective. We're on our way to becoming the family of God that Jesus created us to be, but somebody gets in front of us, somebody comes out of nowhere, or something comes out of nowhere and just gets in front of us or cuts us off and really stalls the momentum. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but so often in life, things can come out of nowhere, come out of left field, and really challenge us in our race, in our the direction that we're headed, the motivation that keeps us going to where we believe Jesus has called us. And so Paul likes to use this race kind of metaphor, but then he switches from this race metaphor to the kitchen, right? He talks about bread and yeast and leaven, and that's more my style, right? I enjoy being in the kitchen. I enjoy baking and cooking. I don't really enjoy running, but it's this idea, right, that a little bit of leaven or a little bit of yeast works its way throughout the whole batch. And even Jesus has taught about this, right? That overwhelmingly in the Bible, when we see yeast or leaven used, it's almost always in a negative context. And so Paul's reminding us, right, that this leaven, this false teaching, he wants to protect us from that. He's trusting God to protect us from this false teaching that has come in out of nowhere, challenged Paul's authority, and given this small fledgling church this additional thing that they needed to do in order to be in the family of God, which in this context is circumcision. And that's why I love the beginning, right, where it's circumcision or no circumcision is not of any value, but it's faith being expressed through love is what really counts. Paul's really reminding us, right, that the way with Jesus is forward. It's not backwards. And he's using these two metaphors. And, you know, if I could go back just quickly to the running metaphor, I come from a family of runners. The last time I spoke, my sister read the scripture, and she's an amazing runner, but really the running in my family has been fed into us through my dad. My dad is an amazing runner. He's been running as long as I can remember. Some of my earliest memories are of him putting on like this large black garbage bag over his torso, putting on a sweatshirt and grabbing sweats and going for these long runs in order to lose weight. And he started small, and then now he's running ultra marathons. And it's so interesting to see how the life of a runner works. And I think Paul understands a bit of this, right? The objective that Christ has for us is forward. And how do we get there? We keep moving forward with Christ. And, you know, I remember something in running called hitting the wall. This is something that marathoners often would experience, right? 18 to 20 miles into a marathon. And it's really not being able to run the race the way that you want to run it, for a variety of reasons. Maybe you've got low energy, you don't have enough sugar in your bloodstream anymore, or maybe you've got this feeling of fatigue and negativity that's just wanting to slow you down. And so I would ask my dad when we would be on these runs, you know, like, Dad, what do I do when I hit the wall? I would generally hit the wall about 45 seconds into a run, you know, not 18 or 20 kilometers. And it was generally because of the negativity that I was feeling about being running, right? Again, I'd rather be in the kitchen where Paul also brings us. But my dad would say, you don't do anything. You just keep running. You keep running. You keep moving forward. You have relentless forward motion. And I know there's probably just a little bit of cognitive dissonance listening to the guy who would rather cook a steak than go for a 10-mile run. And I get that. But in our walk with Jesus, we have the opportunity where things are going to come in and cut us off. They're going to come in and push back on us. They're going to challenge, you know, what we think and what we believe to be true about the gospel. And Paul says something really important. He says, I'm trusting God to protect you from these false teachers. And really what they're doing is they're challenging things that are true about Jesus. They're challenging things that are true about God. And Paul doesn't want us to believe things that are untrue about God, that are untrue about his character, that are untrue about his nature. And this is a big deal for Paul, and it should be a big deal for us. Because when these things come at us, they're wanting to add things to the gospel. They're wanting to add things to our walk with Christ that are only going to weigh us down and even in some ways make us a little bit more negative towards those others who aren't doing this thing. And Paul's saying, no, that's not what it's about at all. So how do we run our race? I can only say how it is for me. I know that it's easy to, or it's easy for pastors really to have these wide variety of answers for everyone. But I know that in this season, how I've been running my race, how I've been trying to show up and be present, it would be easy for me to tell you what the answer is for you. But it might not be true. I think we've got to come back to this place where Jesus is inviting us all into this new life, this family of God. And for me, it's not about being selfish. It's not about being defensive. It's not about needing to be right all of the time. And that's difficult for me because I love being right. I love looking good, and I love this idea of being liked because I'm smart. And that's not always the truth. And so Paul reminds us, right? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Don't use your freedom to engage in this sinful nature, this pride, this way of living that puts the me first. And Jesus is inviting us into this, and really only you can say what that looks like for you in this season. We're all responding to the uncertainty of life in different ways. We all have these different emotions and feelings that maybe they're the thing that wants to come in and stall our momentum. Maybe they're the things that want to block us from really entering into that life that Christ has for us. And Paul reminds us, right, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. I'm so grateful that we live in a community that lets us kind of walk these things out together, that I don't have to give in to the selfish ambition or pride of my ego, but that I can be a part of a community that says, this is an opportunity for me to keep running my race, to keep moving forward. Craig and the team are going to come, and we're going to engage with this song and engage with some reflection in this song called The Scandal of Grace. And I hope that you'll take this time to reflect on what it looks like for you to serve one another in love this week, what it looks like to be courageous and to show up, to be present, and to keep moving forward, to love the way that Jesus has shown us, modeled for us, and given us the opportunity to really love. Let's worship together. Thanks for that, guys. I guess for me, the question is for myself and maybe for you guys this week is, what does expressed love look like, right? What are some ways that we can express this love? And I think for me, it's a good reminder to know that expressed love It isn't a feeling. It isn't something that we feel, but it's an action that we take. Where can we show up this week? Where can we be present? What are the things that we can be invited into to keep moving forward in our walk with Christ, in our families, in our workplaces, in the season that just continues to get more and more wild?